Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, good morning, good evening, good morning, meaning when death arrives, have a good morning on it. And this is Beata, and welcome to Soul Purpose Healing. And once again, we bring up the topic doula work and the death cafe because so many people get bent out of shape, depressed, sad, deep sorrow when transition is ready to begin with their loved ones. I just read a news headline where someone mourns the death of 22-year-old daughter and says it is the deepest pain. And that's the type of emotions we see all the time around the departure of our children, our loved ones, our friends, or whatever. But the recent departure of our sister B-Love on the Female Solution shocked us all, but I believe we were so prepared. And that's what this show is all about, understanding the work of a doula, not just as someone who helps bring in new life, which is what I have started training for. My certification is in process. I have 18 months to do intern work, where I help pregnant women bring forth new life into the earth. But there is such an another aspect of being a doula, I have found, because ever since I took on the idea that I wanted to be a doula, that I wanted to be a support coach for pregnant women, the universe has presented me with more what we call death events than anything. And so I am being prepared on both ends, as Mama AZ would say. This is like a bookcase ends. I'm being prepared to not only welcome in, help a woman, support women in welcoming in the new birth that they have in their womb, but I'm also being prepared to help loved ones usher out and welcome, if you will, souls out of the vessel, out of the human body. And there are many people who think just talking about death is so morbid. And why don't you talk about life? I had a friend text me when I sent him a notice of the show. His response was, "Man, get off death and focus on life." Well, here's the thing, brothers and sisters, friends and loved ones. Death is about life. When you really focus in on the spiritual aspect of, quote, death, whether it's a flower, take a rotten apple, for example. A rotten apple, a rotten banana, let's just say the death of fruit. Once fruit starts getting old, many people would say it dies. But I am so into composting that when I see that fruit and vegetables are, quote, dying, it's time to put them in the earth and bring forth new life. That's what decaying fruit, vegetables are called, compost and placed into the earth so that new plants come up. And what has been such a surprise to me, I didn't have to plant one seed in my soil where I live, and I got tomato plants for the past 2 years. I got tomato plants last year when I was gone for a whole month in July. All I did was throw dead food into the ground, and voila, the rain came, and up came a tomato plant. And then papaya tree came up, it's now up. And this year, my tomatoes are bigger than ever because that dead fruit, vegetables put into the soil, if you will, the soil of the earth, brought forth new life. So we want to talk about the work of death doulas. For one, I did have no idea there were actually people who call themselves death doulas. They're not certified by any organization or anything like that. In fact, I found a beautiful interview of a sister who is a death doula and what that means. So I'm going to play that a little later in the show, because people are ignorant about this subject and people are afraid about this subject. They don't want to talk about this subject. But guess what? The scriptures say in Ecclesiastes, and this is something for all of us to think about, why the scriptures say this. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1, it says, "The day of one's death is better than the day of birth." Think about that. Let me say that again. The day of one's death is better than day of birth. I have pondered that and meditated on those words and come to the conclusion that when our soul is ready to leave this vessel, that is freedom. And when our soul is ready to leave the vessel, as our sister B-Love recently surprised us, it was really a surprise for the Female Solution Blog Talk guest, at least for me, that she was leaving her body. So a moment of surprise became, oh, it's time for her to have her new life. It's time for her to go to her next assignment. And so when you hear the day of death from the scriptures, from the overstanding point of view, the day of your departure from your human vessel is better than, oh, the baby's here. Look, the baby's just come out of the womb. I think we have to ponder and prepare for that day, ours as well as our loved ones. and not see it as something morbid, not see it as something to avoid, but be prepared to celebrate, 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 celebrate. I don't care who it is, whether it's your children, your mother, father, sister, brother, we need to be prepared to celebrate if we are going to be in alignment with the Creator's wisdom. And that's what Soul Purpose Healing is all about. I've been on this blog talk platform for 4 years, I think now, maybe five, coming up on five. And I've always had it as my intention to bring us back into alignment with the Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. I had no idea that I would come to a point where I'd be talking about death doulas. But when the universe is grooming you, shaping you, preparing you for greater, bigger things, better things, more important things like death, what else can you do but do the work to find, get the knowledge, to get the information that you can share with others on this journey because it's important. So I'm only going to be on for about an hour, maybe hour and a half tonight, because my neighborhood, we decided a couple of days ago that we were going to have a new moon drum session. I got the whole neighborhood excited about that, especially my friend with the five dogs and cat. They have dug a hole. My Maisie is going to be excited about this. In fact, I'm going to open up her mic. They had one of the neighbors dig a hole. We got bricks around the hole. We're going to have a fire. And we've got a tiki lamp that my son donated. And we got drums. We got two drums. One that Mama AZ donated to me. And I got another drum. So we're having a drum session tonight because it's a full moon. So that's why my show might
be. Dr. V.
Yes.
Don't tell me. I can't get over there. Why do you want to hurt my feelings like that? Oh, my God.
I know. I'm, like, so excited about that. So, the moon's not going to be out until, maybe another hour or so. So, I'm planning to give this show all I have. But when I hear her start drumming, that's going to be a sign for me that they're ready to get this show going, this party.
We're
going to have a party.
Dr.
We got
V.
wine. And the characters that live in this neighborhood, we even had one of my neighbors say, oh, I can come and take my clothes off. And I'm like, my friend and I look at, well, you can do whatever you want, but we're not doing that tonight. So we're gonna be really having fun tonight while we live on this planet. But again, we need to talk about, quote, death or transition. See, the word, it's all about words that throw people off. We are so used to hearing D-E-A-T-H in a negative connotation, negative meaning, negative everything. But as I explained, when a fruit dies, you put it in the ground, it brings forth new life. So I know Mama AZ has something to say about that, because as we reflect and honor our sister B-Love tonight, her memory, her spirit, her soul is so alive in a different way, because her flesh is now being put in the ground like the plants, and there will be new life coming from her soul spirit journey now. And hopefully we are all a part of it if we have the ears to hear what that spirit is saying to us. So Mama AZ, good evening. How are you? What are you thinking this evening?
Oh, Dr. V, I've been pondering about this, Sister B-Love, and it's really interesting. When you first text me about it, I knew then that she was leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Because people seem to find me, and they let me know. I think it's part of my teaching. And I don't know exactly who it is, but I'm to the point that I can almost distinguish if the spirit is male or female, and it's getting stronger and stronger. And I'm like, now I've been pondering, she was saying all the time she was preparing to make her transition. I don't know who this sister was, But Dr. V, she's special. I'm not saying, well, excuse me, I've been drinking water. I'm not saying that she's more special than anybody, but it was a particular assignment that she had in that Chicago, and she wanted to leave. And I'm curious as to what her involvement, what exactly was she a part of, because she has so much that can be shared with the ones that are over here, still on this side of the veil. Now, you know more about her through the Female Solution than I do, but I got a good feeling that it's something real powerful about Sister B. Love that many people may not be aware of. And I have been pondering, and I've asked her, you know, to communicate through the dreams, now that I know for sure she's one of the ones that has taken this leap and crossed over. Now, it might do us all some teaching benefit, lesson-wise, that we find out as much about Sister B. Love as we possibly can. Now, what was her real name?
Her real name, I think, was Betty Smith. And by, wow, by real name, I think that was her birth name, but her father actually told her name was B-Lo.
But on her birth certificate, it was Betty.
As far as I know, it was Betty Smith.
That's interesting, because I have Smiths. My grandmother was a Smith, and that picture that you share with me, I am not kidding you, sister, she looks like my people from Texas and Oklahoma.
Okay.
So this is a good thing, this is a good thing. My dad had me to call Sister Beth, and Sister Beth ended up telling me that she is studying the death doula position, and now we have the segment on Soul Purpose Healing, the Death Cafe. And it doesn't matter what people may think about it. This is necessary, and it's a part of growth, going to a higher level of knowledges. So I'm with you, Dr. V. I am with you, because I guarantee you that there are others out there who are listening. They are where we are, and maybe beyond. You know what I mean?
Right. And we've been doing the Death Cafe now for about 4 weeks, maybe. And I've been surprised at people who just called in because they saw the tag that about the Death Cafe, and they had a need to communicate with us and share and get some support. So we're offering this every week because we know there are people out there who are confused about death. They're scared. They're fearful. I think mostly fearful. People are fearful about death because we have been in a society. And then Hollywood, of course, promotes horror movies and all things like that. And so we're so misinformed about the higher perspective. As I said, death is better than the day of one's birth. And we grow up thinking it's better to celebrate a new baby coming in than to celebrate. Although, you know, you and I know, in the old church, in the old school, there was a lot more probably celebration of death when it came for someone to transition, because they were in the home And the ceremonies of Native Americans were different when someone was passed up, transitioning. Now, there's just so much fear around it, I think, because of Hollywood and a lot of families, especially with children. But it's time for us to prepare, be prepared for the transitioning of loved ones, because we don't know who's next. Like we said, B-Love's day of transition was a surprise to us all. We had no idea that she was that close to leaving. But I think for the most part, the women of the Female Solution are so amazing because they seem so prepared for it. And it's like their compassion, their purpose kicked in, and they did exactly what a death doula should do in this situation. And that was inform. You know, it's funny that Naima was on the case informing the other family members, me and all the family, what was going on. And then we had Zelda was there to send me a picture of what was going on. And it was like, and it was just so organized, so so special, so beautiful, that that's the way every transition, I think, should be, that we honor the assignment, the timing. We honor the timing of that person. We look at the clock. We look at the day. We look at their age. And we say, oh, the Most High is communicating with us that this was a divine appointment. It was their right time. It wasn't an accident. You know, don't you love it when, like, Michael Jackson sings Gone Too Soon? Well, no, not really. Because when you look at the timing, the date, and all the numbers around it, the creator communicates to us that it's actually perfect timing, and they weren't gone too soon at all. But it was,
you
just,
know, sister,
we were surprised. We caught off guard. Go ahead.
You know, I really need to give a shout out to all of those clout women on the Female Solution, the Gibraltar Rock women,
you know,
because of their higher galactic knowledges, it really speaks through a bullhorn volumes as to, this is my opinion, y'all, as to what their characters are about, how they resonate with the higher dimensions, and so on and so forth. And I'm just grateful, Dr. V, that I've had the opportunity in this lifetime to be able to give a shout out to all of those women on the Female and on Soul Purpose Healing. Thank all of you beautiful sisters. And I give thanks to Sister B Love, who's right here and everywhere. I don't know you, sister, like I want to get to know you, about you, because Sister B Love is something very special that one needs to know, and I'm asking you to come to me in a dream and give me the information that is needed. I am so grateful, Dr. V. I mean, you know, I want to say this. When we have issues with our family, the ones that we come through with that came from our mom's gates in our immediate family, they may not want to have anything to do with you. And what I am learning, even with my children, is how not to beat up on myself.
Yeah,
I did the best that I could do with the knowledges that I had in raising them And, you know, you cannot continue if those ones do not connect with you.
Yeah.
Look at it this way. That wasn't the agreement.
Right.
That wasn't
right.
in the contract. And these are just messengers. So you must investigate others and find your extended family who may be even purple or green.
Yeah.
You know?
That's so true.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, that's so true. Because we are not supposed to be looking at the face or the color of the skin. We are supposed to be looking in their eyes and seeing their soul when we judge people's character or whatever and discern who is part of our family. It's not about the person's skin color, hair, style, whatever. It's about judging or not judging, but discerning. Well, yeah, judging that this person is part of my family. This person is not my family. This person is conscious. This person is not conscious. But the color of the skin, that's minor, minute, irrelevant. But that's what this society, especially the media, is always promoting. A black man was killed by a white policeman and blah, 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 blah. And it's always about race because that's what the media's intention is, divide and conquer, divide. They have this idea that if they keep dividing us, we'll never have unity. We'll never come together. We'll never overpower this government that is crazy and insane. So we are wiser now, I think, because of my sister B-Love's transition, because we're focusing on being love now. Being love,
yes.
Sharing knowledge, and sharing wisdom.
And Dr. V, you know, it's a monumental task. Because I know it was for me when this idea was brought to my attention. I was, 32 or something like that, and entered into this meditation group. And the only two people besides myself were melanated, and they were professors with doctorate degrees and all of this. And it was three of us, and all of those people, what I'm saying is it was difficult or a challenge for me to get it wrapped around my head that we've been all races in this body. We chose to come back as a melanated person to get whatever lesson our soul has to get. Melanated people are so powerful. You know, I'm looking at it that we chose to come to the lowest denominator, the lowest, the nth degree, so that we could rise up and challenge. See, this earth is a down, hardcore boot camp. And the more that I study and the more that I look at stuff, it's amazing that the journey that melanation people have is to refine them. It's like we don't know that we're diamonds. And the reason that we chose this challenge is because our soul is saying, okay, it's time to be some refinement here in your camp. Okay, so you chose this. Like the Ascended Master said, when I was 4 years old in the closet and crying to go back to the other side of the veil, and he pats me on my head and says, you chose this. And why in the hell would I choose to be with alcoholic parents and all of this craziness and this, that, and the other? However, through Minister Williams sharing her gifts of wisdom and knowledges, it was like pushing me off the freaking mountain and saying, wake up. Hello, do you hear me now? You did choose this. And from that day, Dr. V, until this very moment, I'm abundantly grateful that I chimed in to Dr. Lateef's Female Solution Show and connected with Minister Williams, because it was a life changer. It was a life changer. And even you, how you came into my life, it's a life changer. So I'm saying all of this, everybody, to say this one thing. If you do not resonate with your immediate family, remember you chose this journey. And so you have got to figure out, okay, why is it that I'm choosing these people to be involved with? What really is it that I am to learn from my siblings and your children? Even your children are great teachers, because mine have taught me how to not be so greedy or materialistic. Oh my God, they have given me the most wonderful and major lessons, and that's another show. So,
well,
grateful.
That's why we keep emphasizing you have to look at your loved ones as messengers. They're not my children. They're not my husband. It's not my daughter, my grand. It's those messengers. Then if when we detach from them in that way, the transition or the death that comes will be more like life, because you're going to have a powerful lesson when someone transitions, just like B-Love is giving us a reminder to be loving to ourselves. And the gift that she's giving to people who are almost at stroke level, like a friend of mine in Chicago who told me her blood pressure was 200 over a, over 100. So she said, B-Love,
get some water, Dr. V.
B-Love,
get some water.
It was a gift to her. And so when we can begin to see, quote, death as a life gift to those who are left to see and to consider, what is the lesson? What is the lesson when this person's assignment ends? Then we don't have to grieve so hard. We don't have to be so sad. It doesn't have to be so painful. But it's only when we've been so attached to my child, my wife, my we're so possessed with these people that they're my possession, I control them. And then when it's time for them to leave, oh my goodness, you fall apart. So I want to play this audio about what a death doula is, because it was news to me, but it's so important at this juncture, at this period of our journey, that we have this understanding that there are definitely people out there who consider themselves death doulas, and what is their job? We want to know what is their job. And that's what I am becoming. Oh, it's 8:33. That's my numbers for my messengers to come in. So we're going to get a teaching from not only the sister who's being asked questions about her position as a death doula, but the messengers and angels are here to also give us a higher spiritual lesson. So let's pay attention to some of the questions people are asking about, well, what's a death doula? And we will be wiser and more mature and more prepared for the next transition that occurs, and it's going to come. Maybe next week we're going to see someone in close to us who's going to leave this planet. So let's pay attention and let us be prepared for that and not afraid or unprepared.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Talk Death. We are here with Elua Arthur, the founder of Going with Grace. In this video series, we talk to her about death doulas, end of life planning, and why it's so important. And she talks to us about how she supports families and individuals throughout this process.
To learn more about Elua, check out the article we wrote about her on talkdeath.com. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at TalkDeathDaily. This is where we post interesting and morbid history, art, information, and obviously funny comics.
Yeah, of course.
The first question is, what is a death doula?
So a death doula is somebody who provides all of the non-medical care and support of the dying person and the family through the process. So we're not doing anything medical. We're just there to support and empower them to get their needs met through dying and then afterward.
What are some of the biggest misconceptions that you've heard about death doulas? Just as a little side note.
The biggest misconceptions have to do with the type of work that we do and also that we're there trying to kill people. People often think that, you know, it's we're there to hasten death or to make it go any quicker. The birth process is somebody that's there to support and be like, whatever you need to do in order to make this happen, I'll do. They think similarly about death. And I think that makes people think that we're helping death happen quicker, whereas what we're really doing is just supporting. Another really big misconception is that we're just sitting bedside. And while it is some of the juiciest part of the work that we're doing, it's a very small fraction of it. Like, I love to hold hands and sing somebody into wherever they might go, where they leave this life. But realistically, I'm doing a lot of other things too. Like, I'm helping people fill out paperwork, get clear on end-of-life plans, end-of-life goals, interfacing with care teams, helping them figure out options. I do a lot of research. So we're not just sitting bedside. We're doing a lot of work otherwise as well.
And you're not killing people, so.
I'm not killing anybody. I ain't killed nobody yet.
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 All right. So the next question is from Miss Carabella and Red Rumpelstiltskin. Unfortunate name.
So good. No, it's great.
Both want to become death doulas, but don't know where to start. What advice would you give them to get them on the right path?
The very first thing anybody who's interested in becoming a death doula should do is to find a hospice in your area. Sign up for a hospice. Sign up to become a hospice volunteer, because that's going to give you a lot of practical experience in the field and with people that are dying. So you'll kind of see what it's like to be present. You kind of see what like the end of life landscape looks like. You'll get a sense of what it's like to walk into a home where there's serious illness going on or people are considering the end of life. That's the very first step. And from there, research a training program, find somebody to work with that feels good for you, and learn the practical aspects of the work as well. Because the hospice volunteer stuff is fantastic, but that's not all of the work. And better to learn it from somebody who knows how to do it than to try to make it up as you go along.
Awesome. And you are also coming out with your own courses. Is that correct?
I do. I have a course that's actually up right now. I have 48 students. And we're digging into how we support people through dying. It's a 12-week online program, so people can take it from anywhere. And we go through all of the pillars of death care, from the spiritual to the practical and the legal, and also the emotional support, to teach people how to be the best and most effective level of support while people are dying. It's pretty cool.
Are you doing this on your own?
Yeah, mostly. I have probably about 8 experts that chime in. Other death doulas that have specialties. So I talk with a few folks like Jill Schock about medical aid and dying. I talk to E.E. Miller about legacy because she's an artist and also a death doula. So she has a lot of really dope ideas for legacy projects using the arts. I talk to Claire Bidwell Smith, who's not a death doula but a grief counselor, because she has specific information and advice there. So just experts in a bunch of different areas. Michelle Achavasi, who does green burials. Just folks that, you know, focus on a particular area, because I think it's really important also that we see that the work of being in death doesn't just have to look one way. There's a lot of different ways to do it. And these are women, largely, that are doing it in a bunch of different ways. So I want to give people as much exposure as possible, but also really learn the different areas so that they can find out what works best for them and then take that out into the world.
Sweet. Yeah. Well, we'll definitely have to check that out as well. And obviously, it'll be linked in the comments or through the article on talkdesk.com. The next question is by DeLavo, and let me just read it. Do you think being certified as a death doula is important, especially if you've already done work that's similar for your family? If you've researched most of what's in the courses on your own and done extensive reading, can you just jump into it?
I want to clear something up. There is currently no certifying body for death doulas. So if somebody says that they're certified, they have a certificate through the program that they work through. It basically says, hey, you completed this program. But it doesn't give you any specific power, or you're not conferred authority by a regulatory agency that you're now a death doula. So getting certified just means that you've been through a particular program, right? However, I do think that training is useful. It's a very different experience to do it with your family members than to do it for a stranger. It's so different when you're involved in somebody else's family and you're dealing with their family dynamics. And the emotions are different when it's not your family member. So I strongly suggest getting some training because you're also going to learn a lot of other things that didn't present when you're working with your family member. So training, I think, is very useful. Books, of course, awesome. If you're going to be reading, you should be doing that through your training anyway. You should keep doing that anyway. But get some training because it does help. The experience that you've had with your family is going to support a lot to begin with. Yeah, but get some training.
Yeah, that's a really good point, that dealing with your family versus dealing with, you know, almost a complete stranger in a sense. It's a different dynamic completely.
Totally different dynamic. And the role changes and like how you are changes, you know. My family knows me. I can be my most messy, emotive self around them. But when I'm showing up to support a stranger, I don't show up that way. And it's important to learn how to best be.
So this is a bit of a related question, and it's from Death Dialogues, and I'm just going to read it out to you. So Death Dialogues has gained experience in dealing with death through some experiences with their family, and they were wondering if you saw the death doula movement as being a way to empower people, and if you think that it will one day become a normal process that people will go through. I think that their concern is that it might go the way of childbirth doulas, who were really popular at one point and then faded away.
I really hope not. I think that death doulas have a way to really support and empower the dying process that is useful across the board and will continue to be, primarily because I think that the way that we die is changing, not only generationally and what's happening in history, but also in how we're relating to our bodies and how we're relating to our death. And because of that, it is important to have supportive roles to do that. I'd like to see death doulas becoming an instituted part of society, not only with families and in homes, but also in like hospitals and police agencies and even in schools, end-of-life planners, people that know what dying looks like and people that can best support, ask the right questions, make sure that you have all the paperwork done, because the reality is that's not going anywhere. Maybe this buzzy thing about death doulas might die down in a little bit, but we're always going to need support through dying. I also want to mention, though, that in an ideal world, there wouldn't be need for a professional coming in supporting other people through death. In an ideal world, every family member would be empowered to do it on their own.
Do you think that integration with funeral profession at large is going to be really important?
Absolutely. I think integration with the whole industry, anybody who has anything to do with death, is largely important. And as long as we're dying the way that we are right now, I think professionals are very useful, right? There are a few people that can understand the particular interplay between what's happening emotionally, how to handle the practical concerns, also all the alternative burial options and low-cost burial options. Like, it's useful to have somebody that has kind of a bird's eye view of the process and understands the different industries that can be of support to the family. Ideally, everybody knows this information. It's not specialized information. As long as it remains specialized, end of life becomes something that's separate than the life itself. I wish it was just a part of the way that we did it. I think that it'd be very useful if the death doula movement becomes an integrated part of how we die, with the funeral industry, with grief counselors, with estate planners. I read someplace, I think it's in Scotland, where they have hired a death doula to come on staff so she can sit and ask the meaningful questions as people are filling out their wills and trusts. How genius is that? Like, let's do more of that. Let's integrate it into society so that we're being thoughtful about how we're approaching death.
And just, you know, to add to that, and to add to our last question about death doulas, you know, maybe losing popularity, I think something that not everyone realizes either, especially when we're in this sort of death bubble, if I may call it that, is that most of the public, or a large majority of the public, has not heard of death doulas before, and that they have these types of even alternative funeral options. So to them, they just think that it is the funeral director and your will and estate lawyer that will handle any of these things. So
right.
That's something that's also important, is that, you know, when you think about birth, everyone knows that there's two options, really, right? That you can have a natural home birth and you can give birth in a hospital. But today, people don't realize that you have those two options when it comes to death. So I think that that's hopefully something that is going to be, you know, part of our general knowledge soon.
I hope so. And this is going along the lines of this hopefully phasing out at some point, which would mean that all individuals are empowered with information and they can be of support to those that they love when their time comes so that they're not struggling to get the information. It's a really rude awakening when somebody dies and you have a million questions and nobody can answer them. It's a slap in the face. Not only are you in the midst of tremendous grief yourself, but then you're also dealing with all these practical things and there's nobody to call, which is how I started going with Grace ultimately. I was like, I wish that there was just somebody who would have all of these answers. I didn't have to go to the estate planner for one and the DMV for another and nobody to answer these questions. Like, why doesn't somebody know all these things? And if there was somebody, it would pay them anything, just help.
And no one wants to go to the DMV.
Who wants to go to the DMV? Particularly not when you're grieving.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. So much information there. I love the idea about green burials. I do not want my family, you know, because I'm into this knowledge now and this information and sharing it, and I don't want to have a casket, no way whatsoever. I think that's such a waste of money. That's one of the reasons we need death cafes, to talk about how we waste money, how we're unprepared, how we go into this deep grief and kill ourselves, and how important it is for us to accept death, not as something gruesome or morbid, but something as part of our life journey, like the decaying banana or apple or fruit that goes into the ground and becomes a new plant, dimension. Yes, ma'am.
This is a bit creepy in a good way. Can you send me that video that you played? Who in the world is that? Because I swear to God, that sounds like Mama Bear from Oregon. It sounds exactly like her. Amy, please don't tell me that's who that is.
I don't know. I don't think her name is Amy, but I will send it to you because it was like I was just going through the doula videos, and there she was. And I listened to it, and it was so, so informative, so interesting. And, you know, they bring up a point like prayer. You know, our society, our religion, it has many times said, Satan, when someone's transition time is approaching, they look at it as an act of Satan coming in to destroy and kill and take this person away from us. But I think the question we could ask is, what type of prayer is appropriate when someone is very sick and weak and appears to be ready to end their assignment on this earth? And I would have to say, any type of prayer that comes from your heart, the words that come out of your heart are appropriate, because guess what? You're going to learn a lesson, whether that person stays or goes. Whatever comes out of your heart, the words that you feel in that moment about that person, it's a learning experience in that moment. It's the reason that our sister Zelda, who's on the Female Solution on Monday mornings, talks about mindfulness. Because when we can stay in the present moment, and not pray about, oh, you're going to have to come back, you're going to have to be here tomorrow, but just stay in the present moment with our feelings about that moment and what the Most High is saying to us in terms of what this person's life has meant to us and how they appear to be preparing to leave or not. I mean, if someone is laying there saying, I don't want to die, then maybe the prayer should be, all right, this is time for you to be healed. We believe you're going to be healed. We're going to visualize healing. We're going to all gather together, collective, three or more gathered together. The Messiah is in the midst of us. This is possible. Let's keep our hope up. Let's trust. Let's do what we have to do to get this person back in health and not in sickness. And then there are those prayers where I think our sisters in Chicago with Be Love, they were in a prayer probably more of gratitude, a prayer of, okay, if you're ready to go, we are here to support you as, quote, doulas. And I think that's what their mind was saying, that we are here as doulas to support you and to be a loving presence for you, my sister, in whatever you're about to show us. Because that was what was in that moment when you don't know if they're going to be here. When the doctor gives their diagnosis, you've got so many hours, you've got so many days, then we have a choice to accept that or not. And then I think there was a unity with my female solution sisters that they were accepting that somehow, because that's what Be Love was maybe transmitting. And if you ever had anybody who's sick and almost leaving their body, they transmit a message to you. Thank you for all you've done for me. I'm out of here, you know? And why do we resist that? We don't need to call Satan in on the picture, because I don't think, I think Satan is just part of this kingdom of knowing who you are, where you are, and what are you resisting, and your fears, and all those emotions that come of regret and shame and guilt. That's where Satan comes in, is that all those emotions are surfacing, which are not really a part of your sacred self. So we are here tonight. If you have a question, I'm only going to be here maybe another 10, 15 minutes, because if you just joined us, my neighborhood is having a full moon drum session, and I'm part of it because I provided the drum, and I've got another drum, and we're going to be smoking. I don't know, I'm not smoking anything, but some people are going to take their clothes off. We're going to just have a free night of life enjoyment, so that, you know, when death does come, we can say we have fully enjoyed the moment and not worried about the past or the present. And isn't that what being a doula is, informal or not, is being in a place of peace about your past, that you don't have any regrets? It should be a place where you celebrate the moment, and you've taken every opportunity in this life to be joyful. It was like, I can't help but think about my sister Zelda, who confessed that she had some ice cream after leaving the hospital. I wish I had been there to go have some ice cream with her, because in those moments, you just do whatever you feel is making you feel good at the moment. And then tomorrow you start all over again, being that doula, being that friend, being that support again. But in that moment, we are just to enjoy the moment. We got a caller who has pressed one, so I'm going to open the mic because we're down to about eight more minutes. 718-210, your mic's open. Welcome to Soul Purpose Healing.
Thank you for having me. How y'all doing out there? It's me, Daryl.
Hey, Daryl from New York City. How you doing?
I'm okay like that. I have a cousin. He just got better, and you know, he's out there working, and a lot of times when it comes to death, I see a lot of people, you know, they work, and then on this, you know, the 9-to-5, the job, whether it be like, you know, 7-to-3, 3-to-11, 4-to-12, 12-to-8, 11-to-7, once you die, you know, a lot of people may not even mourn. You may get injured on the job. You have some people, you have the jobs, they try to hush everything up, you know, hush everything up to the point, like, a lot of people are so hush about death. And, from there, so my cousin, speaking, getting back to him, a lot of people, they die and they don't have their priorities in order. They don't know their priorities.
Right.
You know, they so worry about a death. I'm going to lose my car note, or I'm going to lose a loved one, somebody they care about, so they so concerned about that. But one guy who told me, he so used to be told no, that a no to him is like a yes, so it doesn't bother him like that. So he's not surprised if he get a yes or no. But the thing about it is that my cousin, I told him I'm trying to tell him, but he doesn't have time to talk to me. He feels so bad, but, you know, I was thinking that maybe it's something that hit the family because, you know, I think some other family members, they got sick. But he's the only one who had an inflamed bowel, and everybody else, they didn't have any inflamed bowel. And from there, it's like he went over by somebody's house, you know, somebody that he associate with. And I call this person from time to time. They never answer me. And I said, wow, you know, I live so far out, you know. And he lives, like, in Brooklyn. I'm out in Queens. And I said, they never know what I'm calling them for. They could at least answer my call. But whenever they do see me, they so happy to see me. I'm like, wow. But then when I call them, then you know, they don't think that it's important. The only way I know this person is through my cousin. And they should be like, okay, he's calling me, it must be important. And they don't look at it like that. And he goes over there today and he breaks his neck after he just trying to get well. And he told me, I'm working from can't see to can't see. And I was like, wow, you got ants in your pants. I'm like, wow, this guy is going to work himself into the grave, and I hope not, you know?
But so your cousin is still alive. Correct me if I'm wrong. Your cousin's still alive, and he's not loving himself, is what you're saying?
He's not loving his self, and I think whoever he's going to help, I think this person has something over him. I think he's scared of this person. I think he's like kind of like scared of this person, and I'm like, wow. It's dark out here in New York right now, and he's supposed to get back to me. And I'm at the point that, like, you know, sometimes I even call him and he doesn't respond. You know, he doesn't respond anymore like he used to. So, and, you know, it doesn't bother me like that, you know, but I guess, like, I always tell him, too, sometimes when I call you for a reason. I said, the next time you're going to see me is in a casket. And then, you know, they told me, don't feel like that. I said, yeah, because when I call you, you don't answer my call. So the next time you see me, I might be dead, you know? Because, you know, it seemed like it's sad. That's the only time people meet up is at funerals. And I wish it shouldn't have to be like that. And I always tell them, oh, we shouldn't be meeting like this, you know? Because, you know, girlfriends and boyfriends and husband and wife, once somebody divorced you and they get married, hey, you know, the other person is probably not going to even like that you talking to your ex if you don't have any ties with them, any children with them, or anything that, you know, makes you communicate with that person, you know. And family, you know, they're always going to be your family, you know. You may not like them, but some of them you have to, I'm seeing now and then, you have some family, like, well, you're just collateral damage. They will sell you. They will give you up. They will. Like that, because sometimes what you think who you think you are, sometimes people will show you you're not who you think you are. Who you think you are, sometimes people will actually show you are not who you think you are. And it's really amazing, because sometimes we think we are this person, that person, and then you got other people close and far, you know, and near and far, who will show you are not who you are, who you think you are. So we have to really evaluate ourselves and the people we deal with.
Well, you know what, Daryl, for me, you're helping us understand a personality in your life that has a lot of lessons to teach. Because when you look at people's behavior, like you just described, that's a lesson for you to love yourself more and to take care of yourself. Because it sounds like this person is close to death or close to leaving the earth, because their attitude is one of, it sounds like, more negativity than optimism, pessimism. So the chore or the task for you, my brother, is to take the lesson and run with it and love yourself more. Because Be Love, our host on Saturday who passed, who transitioned, is teaching us every day to love ourselves more And to look at people who don't love themselves as a lesson. They're a messenger. Your cousin is a messenger for you to accept that behavior. For number one, you can't change him. He's your cousin. He came here with an assignment like we all did. And his assignment obviously is different from yours. And you just look at people and you can have compassion and you can be patient with them if you don't have all the negativity that they have. Otherwise, you're bumping, knocking heads and fighting and all that. But I think you're an observer. You're an observer to know this person is teaching me a lot.
Let me tell you the funny thing. His father had a secret family that he didn't know about. He met him as he got old. He met him as he got older. And then now, you know, he didn't like it. You know, and it got to a point it didn't bother him anymore. And, you know, both sides are not reaching out, really trying to know each other. They know of each other, but that's as far as it goes. And it doesn't go any further than that. They don't attend, you know, to really get to know the other side. And I'm like, wow, he didn't like it, but now the apple didn't fall too far from the tree. I'm like, wow, he's doing the same thing as his father did. He did, but he doesn't have any children out there. But he's out there, the party animal. He's out there like that, you know. So he didn't go out there create a family, but he's out there, you know. So I'm like, wow, you know.
It's like watching a movie to me, where all these characters can be your relatives, your coworkers, and if you have the consciousness and the desire to grow, and spiritually especially, then you just observe people without judgment and say, oh, wow, isn't that interesting? Look at their behavior. And don't get too caught up in their decisions of death, because some people are making, in my opinion, decisions for death. They're eating crappy food. They're eating dead food. When you go in a hospital, they can usher you into the grave because they don't give you live food. They give you what's called palliative care, and palliative care is just throwing everything at you that they have, which is antibiotics and more blood transfusions and pills and more drugs and dead food, lots of dead food, dead milk products. So that's one of the things as a conscious death doula that I think we should advise people, our clients, if we're death doulas, or even if you're like a birthing doula, I would advise my pregnant mothers on how to have a nutritious diet for her and her baby to be healthy and energy, just as I would advise someone who is close to death that if you want to live, you can't eat this food, and you can't have this attitude, and you can't keep the emotions of grief and unforgiveness and giving. We as informal death doulas or formal have to be aware of what is contributing to the death and then accept it if the person is willing to accept it. Or if that person wants to live, offer them the things that will help them live. So it's about time for me to go. And I want to give anyone else who's out there, if you have any comments or questions, press 1 at this time and I'll open your mic. But Daryl or Mama AZ, you have any final words on doula work and the Death Cafe tonight?
No, not me. Mama AZ, I'll be contacting you soon. I'll be sending that thing out in the mail for you, Mama AZ.
Okay, I got that. And Dr. V, take some pictures of the sacred fire mound. And take some pictures of you drumming and everybody else drumming, so at least I can envision me being there with my eyeballs in spirit. Ah, okay.
Alrighty,
Dr. B.
We'll do.
Yes,
all right,
ma'am.
Everybody, thank you for tuning in. And may this message go forward out into the universe, into the planet Earth, that we need to be prepared for what people call death, but is really a transition into a different life, a new dimension, going back home, if you will, to our star seed of light and to a place where we can actually help people on another dimension, another level. So everybody have a great week. I have a busy week ahead. I'm so grateful to be in the living land of the living, still doing what I do. But I'm all ready to prepare for when that time comes for a green burial, no caskets for me. Hallelujah. Everybody have a great week. Thank you.
Thank you.